The word said when God made Adam out of the clay, he breathed into him the breath of God. If God's word creates, you can only imagine what his breath does, unspoken, just giving life to us. Remember a couple of weeks ago I did that Geico thing? I'm going to continue on with that. But first of all, I don't want this presentation of Scripture to be thought as being disrespectful or inappropriate. Is that the Lord is just speaking to me in sort of a humorous way, get your attention, but I don't want that to be a distraction to what the Word is. And what the Word is, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, if you can put that on the board, Carol, it says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants to equip us to do all good works. This is an edification process, and it's the Word. And how we present the Word, we can't change the Word, we can't change the message, but the presentation at times. We need to meet people where they are. And it says, and for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. And that's my prayer. Well, the word that's coming forth with comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in much assurance. So for those who have not been here for the last couple of weeks, I was watching the TV and it's a Geico commercial that came up. It said 15 minutes. You can save 15% on your auto insurance. And I was kind of chuckling, why would the Holy Spirit do that? Not that God needs Madison Avenue or advertising to talk about his son, Jesus Christ. But if that were to happen, what would it sound like? What would it look like? So, gentlemen, you want to go back? Richard, you want to go back? Oh, no? Okay. Okay. So, Jesus, an instant can save you eternally. And the punchline would be, not many people believe that. Geico says everyone knows that, but with Jesus, not many people know that. Then we talked about, well, did you know? And the teaching last time was that no man takes a piece of a new garment to put it on the old garment because it rents. Did you know that? And we did a demonstration of trying to take the old cloth, the new cloth, and put it on new cloth and found out it doesn't work. And we talked about our walk with Christ. If you're looking for the fullness of Christ and you go pull something off that, like unforgiveness. We talked about unforgiveness or anger this morning. If you want to have peace in your life, you take the piece of Jesus and you stick it on yourself, it rips off. And that the old cloth and the new cloth don't agree. And that's the battle between the spirit and the flesh. This is the second installment. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
They go, God sent not his son into the world to condemn it. Did you know that? But through him, save the world. Yep. These are the men, describes the Pharisee that caught the woman in the very act of adultery and throws her in front of Jesus and says, Jesus, we caught her in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says we should stone her. What do you say? And Jesus ignored them and continued to write. And they asked him again, and finally Jesus basically said, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. And it says, on hearing the word, they were convicted, and each man went to his own home separately. What does the word of God tell us in that? And the first one I did this, I was so angry at the church, because we are so busy sticking our fingers in other people's business. Bring them to Jesus, bring them in front of the Bible, so you're a sinner, you're going to hell, and slapping them with the Bible. But the word says Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it through him. So it's a heart change. There's a difference. How are we to save the lost? Well, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. But how? And we do have to go back to before we knew who Jesus Christ was, what our lifestyle was, what we were doing, what we were listening to, what we were not listening to, and how we just lived our life. Highway to hell, as my friend says. He's on that highway. He's going there, and he makes no bones about it. And I get angry, and he said a couple words, and I really gave him a strong rebuke, and he has not been back with us for almost 2 years. But he's going to a Bible study, and he's learning. It's just that in my anger, that was a good word today, anger, how dare you say that? Not only about my Jesus, my God, but my family, and I wasn't going to tolerate it. But the man pushed my buttons, and it wasn't anything violent. It was just a rebuke, and he's carnal, so he ran away. So it's a lesson for me that I can't beat people over the head with the gospel of Jesus to bring them to God. It's going to be a heart change. So, that's from last week. That's the new cloth that fell off of me already. Look at that. So, what did Jesus expect? When we get together, when you see someone that's in sin, and you bring them in front of someone that you want justice, and Jesus said, "Who has not the sin, cast the first stone." That was the conviction. That was the conviction I was leading to this morning. That difference between conviction and condemnation. The men were convicted. There was a heart change. The word spoke to them. That we identify ourselves, we analyze ourselves, we review our methods, just review us in relationship with God. They were underneath still the law of Moses. They knew the law. They knew all the commandments. Where was the man in this? The Mosaic law said the man was supposed to be stoned too, but the man wasn't there. So I can get caught up on what the church should be doing. Instead of showing love and kindness, they had a condemnation spirit about them. But Micah 6:8, he says, What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? That's what the Lord requires. That's his word. It's a pretty tough rebuke from the Lord, because the word is for reproof and instruction and for correction. To say, if you're without sin, cast that stone. So in reality, we should not be pointing fingers at anybody, because we have the sin. And Jesus, God considers all sin the same. It's sin. It's not the little sin, how we would rationalize it. It's sin to the Lord. So we shouldn't judge. Okay, and this was 2 Corinthians 10:7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. So Jesus asked the scribes and Pharisees that very question. If you had sin, cast that first stone. And they couldn't. Right then, at that time, I don't think they were of Christ, because they were in the flesh. They wanted to do damage to that woman. They wanted her condemned. Okay? They were looking on the outward appearance. God always looks on the inward appearance. He's looking at the intent of our hearts. Oh, excuse me. This goes along with the teaching that Rick's been doing about the power of words. The power of our words. Hebrews 4:12. For the word is God, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Not the mind, of the heart. The scripture says that Jesus already knew that they were laying a trap for him to answer. And during Jesus' ministry, is that what the Pharisees and the religious leaders were doing? They were phrasing a question on Old Testament premises to trap Jesus with the answer. In this case, Jesus never answered the question. When we're baited with our faith, sometimes the best thing is not to answer that question, because that answer is a trap, and you know it's a trap. And where do we go back to? We go back to the word. Jesus already knew what the intent of the men's heart were, to trap him. But the scriptures in Micah 6:8 is that God desires us to do justly. We know Jesus forgave our sins. He wants us to remind us he forgave all sin for all man for all time. That's his gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. He freely gave his life down for us and picked it back up. In the flesh, we're the ones that make that comparison. I'm better than you. This is what you're doing. But it's only through the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit into our hearts of who Jesus is. And once we receive that forgiveness in our hearts, hopefully we can demonstrate that. I don't know how I would feel if you guys came to my house and said, you're not living right, Tom or Carol, and drag me in front of the elders of the church and say, well, I think we should stone Tom. You guys may want to do that to keep me quiet, but no, fill my mouth full of gravel. Where is God's grace in that? And with the woman caught in the very act of adultery, the three words that really stuck out when the men left and said, where are the men? Did they condemn you? And she said, no man. No man condemned her. They all left. And the next word, comma, Lord. There was no indication that Jesus Christ was Lord in that situation. Everyone knew who he was. He was going around. He was a great prophet. So here's an adulteress caught in the very act, thrown in front of men, right? The whole crowd there waiting to stone her. They all leave. And that one word, Lord, she had a revelation who Jesus was at that moment. Doesn't say if he approved his sin, because we know God doesn't approve of sin. However, he just told her, neither do I condemn thee. Sin no more. Whatever her sin was. So when we're in a position of being ambassadors, being a light to the world, if we forget the poor woman, the poor man, the homeless, perceivably homeless person, the one that's in the jail at the moment, they don't know Christ. They're sinning because they don't know. Or if they do know, there's scripture saying they know it, they're going to do it anyway. The thought of someone being internally separated from Jesus Christ, being condemned by their refusal to come to know Jesus Christ, or just the rebellion, is more upsetting to me than the sin that they're living in. If I address the sin nature, I'm in a losing battle. So I'm be like the Pharisees. There's the sin. What are you going to deal with it? It says here, the law of Moses, and there's a whole thing. What happens when you violate the law? It was usually death by stoning, thrown out of the camp, exclusion. And those laws were meant to let us know we can't fulfill the law. They're a guide. And once we realize that if you're living a righteous life, let me see this right. You're already operating under God's law because you're doing it. Talked about the Gentiles. They never heard of the gospel, but they're doing the kindness. They're doing all these acts. They have the law in them already. So if we have that, when we see these circumstances of people breaking the law, living their lifestyle, the bigger thing, the bigger picture is they're risking eternal separation from the Lord. And that's where my compassion is. And I believe that's where Jesus' heart was that day, speaking to two different groups of people, those who knew the law, that were using it for one reason, to show us sin, and to the woman that was sinning, to say, sin no more. To the woman, he spoke the word, sin no more. To the Pharisees and the scribes, is that you who be without sin, cast that first stone. Two different messages addressing hard issues of people. Isn't that? So what and I had a whole bunch of scriptures, I should say, that what would the men be thinking of? What would the church be receiving if Jesus came in today and said, sin no more? Who are you to condemn the people? I did not come to condemn. Who gave you like Rick would say, the Holy Spirit Junior role of condemning people. What would Jesus speak to the church? It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That's in Proverbs 2. But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. My son, forget not my law, and let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Should any of those scribes and Pharisees repented? Speculation. Found favor with God for admitting what they were doing. And probably that woman that was caught in adultery. Favor of following God's will. More about the Proverbs. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart. Because God knew what the intentions of those men's hearts were. And the same thing, he didn't address it to them, say, you're a bunch of sinners, you're a bunch of hypocrites. He never answered that question. It's a loaded question. It only would lead into more turmoil and more division. And that wasn't the issue. That was the issue they wanted to present. But his issue was this forgiveness, not coming into a spirit of condemnation. This one was a rough one for me. It says, in his own iniquities shall the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his own sin. Basically, unforgiveness. We walk around being self-righteous and not forgiving our sin or not releasing our sin. Those are the things that are going to bind us. Those are the things that usually that inspire us to pick out the faults in other people's lives. We're hiding our own sin. See, their sin is much worse than mine, God. Don't look at me, but she's an adulteress caught in the very act. Do something with her. Don't deal with me. Deal with her. It says, if Jesus did not come to condemn the world, which goes back to the opening, who is condemned and how are they condemned? And in John, 2 John 3:18 and 19, he that believeth on him, Jesus, is not condemned, but who that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. When we do our outdoor ministry, this has been in the opening scripture. We've been sharing it out in the audience. We're just out there, and there's people going around. And one of the first comments was, you're condemning me. How dare you condemn us? And we haven't even spoken yet. As the musicians are setting up for the music ministry, we're doing sound checks, we have Christian music going on, people are coming in for prayer, and people are already saying we're condemning them. It's the Spirit. They know. And that was the word we've been giving. We don't come to condemn. We come to share the word. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're condemning yourself. Our responsibility as a body is to share the love of Jesus Christ, to share the word of Jesus Christ, not the condemnation of what sin will do into your life. They may not know that, they may not believe that, they don't care, it gets angry. But when you share the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It discerns the matters of the heart. And those people that left angry left Christopher. Pray that they were being convicted. Because if this devil gets a hold of them and condemns them, they're further running away from Christ. The people that came and heard the message who ran up to the stage because whatever we said spoke to their hearts, ministered to them, gave them something. And when they heard it was Jesus Christ, they picked their stuff up and they ran away. As soon as they knew it was Jesus and Jesus was mentioned, I want to be saved. They like their lifestyle. They like their riches. They like the material wealth they have. The boy that came out of the bar with a two-week-old baby was hearing part of this message. Tears running down his eyes, and his name is Matthew. And I'm a chicken, believe it or not. This is the Holy Spirit. Carol would beg to differ. And he just started walking up towards me, and how I break the ice is I go get a bucket of water and say, hey, want some free water? And try to talk about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, no, just tell him who you are. And I said, my name's Tom, and I stuck up my hand, and he just grabbed me and hugged me. And I said, your words hit me. I have a drinking problem. I have a girlfriend. I have a newborn baby. I'm not going to work tonight. He's drinking. He lives above a bar, and that's addiction is his alcoholism. And he knew who Jesus was. He believed in Jesus as a younger. He's a young boy. He said, I knew God or know of Jesus when I was growing up, but I've walked away, and I can't come back. And I said, what do you mean you can't come back? He said, the devil says, I can't come back. See, that's condemnation. That's not the conviction. What do I do? I said, what do you want? He says, I want to come back into relationship with Jesus Christ. And we brought him over to Dorothy. Everyone knows Dorothy. And Dorothy just put on such a loving prayer for that man's life, rebuking the attack on his life, declaring victory in Jesus Christ in that man's life. He hasn't been here yet, but he's coming. Because he professed it. I want to go where you go. And we don't see where we go to church, because this what we do is not promoting where we go. It's the body of Christ. So he wants to go where we go, because he saw something that he clung to, and he wasn't condemned. We didn't drag him in front of everyone, say, here's a sinner. He's a drunk. He's irresponsible. He has a girlfriend. He's not even married. And so we didn't do that. It's just, it was the heart. What was our heart intent? Our heart intent is to spread the good news of the gospel, that boy doesn't perish, is not separated, nor his wife, girlfriend, soon to be hopefully wife, as we pray for, and his child. So that's who condemned. He says, but when we are judged, this is 1 Corinthians 11:32, but when we are judged, we are chastised of the Lord, that we should not be condemned by the Lord. So when the Lord gave that message to the Pharisees about the stone, he was chastising them. As much as Jesus does not want that woman to be separated from him, he doesn't want the church to be separated. He wants the church to have the same compassion as he does for this woman. Now, if people were confused who Jesus was, is in Matthew. It's talking about the birth of Jesus. Speaking about Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. For the Son of God has come to save that which was lost. And Richard already read that little scripture on the side. I come a light into the world. That's whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Those Pharisees left. He did not judge them. He just asked that question. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he that rejecteth me and received not my words hath one that judges him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. That's pretty heavy. But there's so much joy, because we can take a look at it, and I don't want anyone going to the self-pity party like how we fell short. Because that's never been the purpose of why we teach. Is that a free gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of sin was manifest through Jesus Christ. It didn't just happen like out of that. Like, it was spoken of by prophets. It was manifest with the birth of Jesus Christ and his ministry. With Paul, when he was converted from Saul to Paul, as a life-changing experience for any New Testament believer, that you've gone from a sinner, the worst person, a blasphemer, and how God uses us. And that's all the grace of God. And when we're caught up in that grace and that mercy, these things of the world, the conviction of the various sins, are always in our face. You should not be doing that. You should be not doing that. You should be not doing that. And it seems like we're talking outside the walls of the church. Those poor people out there, they don't know what's going to happen, and they're sinners. And we just use that wall as a divider. Okay? Then I'm reading the epistles and realizing when Paul was speaking these words and the words of Revelation, the writer wasn't talking outside the wall. He was talking to the congregation. Those who don't go into heaven are the blasphemers, the liars, unbelievers, those who doubt. Wow. So how this all ties in is that, go back to my anti-hunting jacket so I don't get shot in the woods, is that when we put on Jesus, not cutting parts of him out, and we put on the new man, all things have passed away, it's not just a covering. This is the Christ that we want to believe in, unwavering, without having doubt, that the things that he says is true. To receive forgiveness and to extend forgiveness, to receive his grace, to share his grace, to receive his mercy, to share his mercy. We can't do it without a revelation of Jesus Christ. We can't do it by our strength and power, but only by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay. We can't cut this out and stick pieces on it where we think we're lacking. It's the whole deal. It's the whole deal of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And when that happens, the things that we hold as truths that we can and can't do have to fall to the name of Jesus and bow to it. My inability to forgive people will have to leave. My inability to fully trust, or my intellect to challenge God on intellectual matters versus faith in believing in him, has to kneel. Should I believe? And it's always a choice. That's what it comes down to, is that choice we make. So, with Geico, you can save 15% with your auto insurance. But Jesus Christ is not an insurance policy. Jesus Christ is God's assurance for us, for you, of where you would spend eternity. And when we receive him and we say, now with just our mouths, with our heart, the intents of our heart, and allow him to shine through, the situations where we might be one of those people that are caught up with the Pharisees and see someone sinning, and we bring them in front of Jesus and say, Jesus, you got to do something with this. And he will stand there and say, if you're without sin, go ahead. And believe me, we've all been there. We've all been there. Either we thought about it or actually brought someone up and said, this is your fate. So I'd like to finish. And the reason why we had the wood is because those are the planks in our eyes that we try and take the moat out of someone else's. And that was the reason of having the demonstration of the planks, the beams in our eyes. Now we're so quick to see someone else's sin, we can't see ours because of the planks. So this morning, Lord, we just thank you that your word gives life and ministers life, Lord. This is not a word of chastisement, Father. This is a word of encouragement, Lord, that we can examine ourselves, that we can bring into remembrance what you've done for us. And Lord, at times it seems to us not fair. For one that didn't know you for most of my life, to come to know you, there's such a fervency to share you, and I'm learning how to do that in an effective manner. And then I look down at my brothers that have known you for their entire life and say, how come they're not on fire? But Lord, you've blessed them. You bless them with a life of peace and trust. They've trusted in you. The fruit of their lives is evident. And for some that's just coming into you, Lord, is, Lord, that you use everything for your glory. And I thank you that you do that and show us. This is not a life of comparison of one against the other, or what I did or what I lack and what you did or what you didn't do. Lord, it's the revelation of who you are in our lives, and that you came into the world to save it through yourself. There's no other name but the name of Jesus to be saved. It's quite clear in that scripture. And that how, Lord, we need your guidance to keep our hearts open and teachable to your word. Because when we're placed in these conditions where we unknowingly are being trapped by our religious authorities or just the world and the devil trying to throw us off track, it's like that we come back to you. And it says the Father's will is that no man perish. May our will be in line with yours, that whoever we meet, our words and actions and thoughts don't contribute to them being, to, does not contribute for them to run away from Jesus, and that their soul is in risk of being perished. We don't want that, Lord. Lord, we ask you to examine our hearts. We invite you to do such a thing. And the things that are not of you, Lord, we ask you to identify them, like you've already done this morning. And Lord, we lay these things at the cross, that we can rely on you, that we can be used as vessels of honor in a world of sin and dishonor and lies and deception, that we can walk confidently in you to share the gospel, the good message, the good word. Father, we speak this over our families, for our spouses and children that may not know you just yet. We thank you that your word covers them through our belief in you. Father God, lift up the pastors that are ministering, Lord. Should they not be in line with your word and teaching your word, Lord, may you convict them at this moment, that they can ask forgiveness and repent and feed their flock, to give life to their flocks. Give them strength, Lord. For our brothers and sisters that come to it, that come, and for some reason it doesn't seem in our own eyes they're receiving, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just take that from us, that we're not judging, Lord. But we thank you that you're meeting them where they are, that they're coming, and you are meeting them, Lord. And that you are encouraging them and letting them know that they're worthy, they're honored, they're cherished, they're beloved, and that you rejoice over them. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the life that you gave for us, that we do have a hope and a future. And you said that when you were ascended to heaven, that the Father would send a comforter, another, a comforter, and that we would do more than he did. Lord, just open up our hearts and eyes that we can do these things in your name. Do mightier works than Jesus. Wow. Lord, may we be the Bible that some people never see. Once again, a vessel of hope, love. Father, thank you for not condemning me, that you saved me. And I heard your voice, I heard your call. And each step of the way, when I doubted and had fear, you were there in my life, telling me to fear not, to trust in you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for opening your arms to everyone here in this room and everyone that is hearing this on a tape or a CD, that your arms are open and that you love us. Thank you for your assurances. In Jesus' name.